Between the years 1543 and 1551, Scotland and England were locked in a conflict that would go on to be known as the Rough Wooing, or the 8 Years' War. The conflict was characterised by a series of military campaigns and political manoeuvres aimed at securing the marriage between the 2-year-old Mary, Queen of Scots, and 6-year-old son of Henry VIII, Edward VI. The ageing Henry's insistence on the marriage between Mary and Edward aimed to unite England and Scotland politically, ensure Tudor dynastic stability, crucially, counterbalance France's influence in Scotland. The term rough in the name refers to the aggressive and forceful tactics employed by the English forces under Henry, and later his son Edward, to coerce Scotland into agreeing to the marriage alliance. The conflict involved English incursions into Scottish territory, raids, sieges and battles, resulting in widespread destruction and suffering for the Scottish population. Invading English forces under commanders such as the Earl of Hertford strategically targeted Scottish towns, castles and religious institutions to weaken Scotland's resistance and compel compliance with English demands. The conflict saw several large-scale battles, notably the Battle of Ancram Moor in 1545, the Battle of Pinkie Cleugh in 1547, and the Siege of Haddington from 1548 to 1549. After English troops routed the numerically superior Scottish army at the Battle of Pinkie Cleugh, where an army of Scots numbering up to 22,000 men were defeated by an English army of less than 17,000, James Hamilton, the Regent of Scotland, lay siege to the strategically important borough of Haddington. From July 1548 to September 1549, Scottish forces besieged the well-entrenched English army occupying the small market town. Positioned near the border with England, it served as a key stronghold for controlling access to both Edinburgh and the eastern coastal regions. Control Haddington, and you control a vital transportation route. 15,000 English soldiers, bolstered by around 200 Albanian troops, dug in and fortified the town, hoping that the far smaller Scottish army would run out of supplies long before they did, or use up their dwindling resources attacking the formidable defences. The English troops were battle-hardened campaigners, and they put that experience to good use, turning Haddington into a fortress that, by all accounts, rivaled the famously impregnable Turin. For over a year, the Scots bombarded the town, bringing in cannon from all over the country to test the English defences. Even the great Scottish gun Throwinmouth was brought from Dunbar Castle to help with the siege, and French troops brought additional guns to help break the English barricades. Although the siege ultimately ended due to constant harrying by the Scots, with nighttime raids common, sickness spreading through the English ranks, and changing political circumstance, there were some notable skirmishes in the 14-month-long siege. One such story has become known as Tuesday's Chase. In efforts to relieve the English troops, supporting cavalry forces would often harry the Scottish encampments. One encounter saw the English troops routed and led to them fleeing on horseback along the banks of the River Tyne. Behind them was a contingent of Scots who gave chase, keeping pace with the fleeing English, hacking and slashing at the English mounts, bringing down several horses and dispatching their riders as they struggled to regain their feet. Among the captured, Nicholas Gainford, a prominent English nobleman, found himself in the firm grip of Andrew Kerr of Littledean, making one of the most significant captures of the day. And it's the ancestral home of the Kerr family that's the focus of today's story. Nestled along the River Tweed, approximately 3 miles from the historic village of St Boswells, lie the remnants of Littledean Tower. This once imposing structure, traditionally the stronghold of the Kerrs of Littledean, commands a strategic position on the riverbanks, offering sweeping views of the surrounding landscape, crucial for monitoring approaching threats and controlling movement along the river. Once a formidable 4-story oblong tower, its imposing stature bore witness to centuries of history. Constructed upon the remnants of a former fortress, legend has it that stones from the ancient castle were repurposed in the construction of this more modern stronghold. In 1544, amid the tumultuous raids of the 8 Years' War, the castle suffered devastation as English troops launched a relentless assault, leaving it badly battered and in ruins. To fortify its defences, a massive D-shaped tower was erected. This newly constructed building boasted sturdy rubble walls measuring 1.8 metres in thickness, faced with finely cut ashlar. Rising 4 stories tall with an additional garret, the tower not only reinforced Littledean's fortifications, but also provided ample additional living space. Littledean remained in use until the late 18th century. And with the peace brought by the Act of Union, it's said the Kerrs opted to relocate to nearby Nenthorn House. Since then, the question persists. Did the Kerrs relocate to a more modern house? Or did they relocate, as many believe, to escape the events that occurred behind the ancient fortress's thick stone walls? The following story was published in Notes on the Folklore of the Northern Counties of England and the Borders by William Henderson in 1879. The ancient tower of Littledean on the Tweed side had long been haunted by the spirit of an old lady, once its mistress, who'd been a covetous, grasping woman and oppressive to the poor. Tradition averred that she had amassed a large sum of money by thrift or extortion and now could not rest in her grave because of it. Still, in spite of its ghost, Littledean Tower was inhabited by a laird and his family, who found no fault with the place of abode, and were not much troubled by thoughts of the supernatural world. One Saturday evening, however, a servant girl, who was cleaning the shoes in the kitchen by herself, suddenly observed an elf light shining on the floor. While she gazed on it, it disappeared, and in its place stood an old woman wrapped in a brown cloak, who muttered something about being cold, and asked to warm herself by the fire. The girl readily consented, and seeing that her visitor's shoes were wet and her toes peeping out blue and cold from their tips, she good-naturedly offered to dry and clean the shoes, and did so. The old lady, touched by this attention, confessed herself frankly to be the apparition that haunted the house. "My gold wouldna let me rest," said she, "but I'll tell you where it lies. 'Tis 'neath the lowest step of the tower stairs. Take the laird there and tell him now what I tell you. Then dig up the treasure and put it in his hands and tell him to part it in 2 shares. 1 share let him keep, for he's master here now. The other share he maun part again and gie half to you, for ye are a kind lassie and true. And half he maun gie to the poor o' Maxton, the old folk and the fatherless bairns, and them that need it most. Do this, and I say I'll rest in my grave, where I've no rested yet, and never will I trouble the house mair till the day of doom." The girl then rubbed her eyes, looked again, and behold, the old woman was gone. Next morning, the young servant took her master to the spot which had been indicated to her, and told him what had taken place. The stone was removed and the treasure discovered, and divided according to the instructions given. The laird, being blessed with a goodly family of sturdy lads and smiling maidens, found no difficulty in disposing of his share. The servant girl, so richly endowed, found a good husband ere the year had passed. The poor of Maxham, for the first time in their lives, blessed the old lady of Littledean, and never was the ancient tower troubled again by her ghost or apparition. Legend has it that in the 1600s, a former laird of the tower had a reputation as a tyrannical figure, known for his violent temper, love of drink, and for the cruel treatment of his family and servants. There's a story that, unhappy with how a stable boy had saddled his horse, he had the boy trampled to death under the hooves of the very horse he'd been tasked with saddling. His reputation for brutality drew like-minded men to the castle, where they gathered for late-night feasts and revelry. Margaret, his long-suffering wife, often bore the brunt of his anger. She dreaded his drinking sessions and did her best to avoid drawing his attention during those times, that wasn't always possible. On one occasion, during such a gathering, the Laird demanded his wife's presence. When she refused, he forcibly dragged her into the festivities, pinning her against the wall so she couldn't escape. He then began subjecting her to brutal abuse. Eventually, the Laird released her and let her go, but as she hurried away, he shouted one last insult, declaring he would sooner wed a fiend from hell, for such a wife would have more warmth than the woman he married. Lady Margaret could stand the abuse no longer and snapped back, "You'll live to regret these words." The Laird persisted in drinking until heavily intoxicated and long after his guests had left Littledean. Fueled by copious amounts of alcohol and adrenaline coursing through his veins, he saddled up his horse and, heedless of his staff warnings, rode off into the night, into a once-in-a-century thunderstorm. Ignoring the weather at first, he rode on, but as the severity of the storm became apparent, he desperately sought refuge. By a stroke of luck, he chanced upon a secluded cottage nestled amidst the darkness. The door to the cottage was open, and a warm light emanated from the doorway, illuminating the darkness around. Dismounting his horse, he cautiously approached, unsure what to expect, as, knowing his land like he did, he had no memory of a cottage like this on the property. The closer he got, the more the storm seemed to abate, and quietness settled around. He was soon able to see through the rain-lashed window, and for a second thought he saw dark shapes moving around the corners of the cottage, but put it down to a trick of the light. Peering through the door, he encountered a woman of captivating beauty, sat peacefully by a spinning wheel. He attempted to talk to her, but instead of speaking to him, she turned, looked at him, and with a maniacal laugh, snapped the thread she was holding in two. At this, he took fright, quickly mounted his horse, and galloped away. Time passed, and the Laird grew to become obsessed with this mysterious woman. He searched in vain for the cottage, night after night, but without success. Close to giving up, he ventured out one last time, only to encounter her again by chance near the tower. The beautiful woman was stood by a river in a clearing. When she saw him, she held out her arms, smiled, and silently beckoned him to her. She then guided him to some trees near the tower and said that she would always meet him there. Despite being in sight of his marital home, the Laird ventured out night after night to indulge his passions with this mysterious woman. Although he attempted to keep the affair secret, Lady Margaret discovered the truth and confronted him, throwing her wedding ring in his face. She vowed to leave him, and on hearing this, he simply turned and walked away. Her curiosity got the better of her, and she paid two male servants to venture into the woods, to where the adulterous lovers would meet, in the hope she could uncover the identity of her husband's obsession. But when they arrived at the meeting place, they found it empty. Deciding to wait, their patience soon paid off, and they saw the Laird's lover wandering through the trees. As she got closer, the men revealed themselves, and the mysterious woman ran off into the trees, with both men giving chase. Closing in, the men were sure they would come upon the woman behind a large oak tree, but when they rounded it, they found only a large hare that hopped past the surprised servants. Returning that evening to Littledean, the men found Lady Margaret beside herself with worry as the Laird was missing. Rightly deciding it was too late to mount a meaningful search for the missing man, they agreed to wait until first light to put together their search party. However, during the night, the Laird's horse was seen galloping through the trees, heading towards the tower, carrying the unconscious Laird on its back. The horse arrived at Littledean, sweating and snorting heavily, as if it was terrified and had been running for its life. The unconscious Laird soon came to, but when he did, he was ashen-faced and shaking with grim fright. Pressed on what had happened to him and why he'd returned so late and in such a state, he told those gathered that while he was riding home, he'd noticed a hare running alongside his horse. This hare was soon joined by several others, who, no matter how fast he galloped, managed to keep pace with the Laird. The hare had a supernatural speed and weight to them. They would run in and out of the horse's legs, often jumping up to saddle height towards the now panicked Laird. Eventually he drew his sword, swinging wildly while unsuccessfully attempting to trample them under his horse's hooves. Again and again he swung, but each time missed until, with one mighty swing, his blade connected with the paw of one hare, severing it clean off, and with this, the husk of hares vanished into the undergrowth. This would not signal the end of the encounter, for instead of falling to the ground, the paw somehow made its way into the Laird's pistol holster. The Laird carried on riding, but found himself miles from where he thought he should be, so spurred his horse on to ride for Little Dean. When he'd finished his story, he reached into his holster to show those who'd gathered the paw he'd severed. Instead of feeling the soft fur of the paw, his hand was instead grabbed by something far more familiar. Throwing it down on the ground in front of him, he yelled, "It grabbed me!" And as the crowd gathered looked to see what the wicked Laird had thrown on the ground, they were horrified to see the severed hand of a young woman. Impaling the hand on the end of his sword, he took it to the river to rid himself of this unearthly trophy in the dark waters below. As he stood, he realised he wasn't alone, and turning to his left, caught sight of his lover, sat on a stone by the side of the river. "You took my hand from me. Now it will be with you forever," she rasped. To his horror, he could no longer see the beautiful young woman he'd grown besotted with. Instead, he was confronted by the leering face of a haggard old woman holding her arm up in defiance at him. The Laird fled back to the safety of Little Dean and took to his bedchamber to rest. Collapsing in a chair by the fire, he placed his hand in his pocket to retrieve his tobacco, but instead pulled out the severed hand he'd thrown in the river earlier. Horrified, he threw this out the window, then retired to his bed to sleep, and on placing his hand under his pillow, found another severed hand. As morning broke, Lady Margaret's servant ascended to the Laird's chamber to summon him for breakfast. Opening the locked door, she was met with the chilling sight of him lying lifeless in the centre of the room, his face twisted in terror, his neck bearing distinct marks of fingers, a haunting testimony to his final moments. In the wake of the Laird's demise, whispers echoed through the countryside, recounting the eerie events that unfolded within the walls of Little Dean Tower. Tales of a tyrant brought low by his own misdeeds mingled with legends of spectral encounters and vengeful spirits haunting the once proud fortress. The tragic fate of the Laird served as a sombre reminder of the consequences of cruelty and folly. Lady Margaret, though left to bear the weight of her husband's legacy, found solace in the knowledge that justice, though delayed, had been served in its own mysterious way. As the sun rose over the Scottish borders, casting long shadows upon the rugged landscape, the spectre of Little Dean Tower stood silent witness to the enduring mysteries that lingered within its ancient stones, a testament to the turbulent history and spectral whispers of times long past. And so, the legend of Little Dean Tower endured, a cautionary tale woven into the fabric of the land, where truth and folklore intertwined, shrouded in the mists of time.